it's working.
It is good to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity always. I've always enjoyed preaching here. I won't tell you where I haven't enjoyed preaching. Outside of covenant, Brother Titus was the first person who ever had me to preach. So, can't thank him yet. If you want to get your Bibles ready, well, I try to get ready here. We'll go to Ephesians 2 in a minute. Ephesians chapter 2. I've got these somewhat marked with whatever trash I have in my Bible here. But I did think that this great privilege of being here among you to preach, I would take this opportunity at this great gathering to make a major announcement. I have decided to go woke. And by the end of the message, I hope you'll join me in going woke. Of course, my definition of woke is probably different than what you've heard others talk about. But as I've observed the world and studied Scripture, I see most of the world, if not all the world, saved and lost, is asleep. So going woke certainly is something needs to be done. In fact, we'll see how the Scripture admonishes us to wake up. There in Ephesians chapter 2, little known passage maybe for some, but you young people don't realize that the Apostle Paul spoke about zombies and the walking dead. There it is right here, chapter 2, verse 1. And you, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was what I was going to read, but I'm looking at verse 4. Can't miss that one. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Amen. Now that's an interesting passage because it points out a few things. Not only is the world asleep, but they're dead. They're dead, yet they're walking. Hence the term zombie. What we see with that, of course, the implications of it, most of the people you meet out in the world, and the people you know that are lost, they're programmed by Satan himself. This world and the people of this world are children of wrath, and they're following a course that's set by the devil. They think they're unique. They think they're mavericks and everything else. Oh, well, we're breaking the norms of society. We won't listen to what the man has to say. We will dress how we want, love whom we want, do all these sorts of things, and we're really different. We'll paint our hair pink, and aren't we something special? Not really, cutie. You're following what the world has programmed into your brain. Not just the world, but Satan himself. You might be a good person, in your opinion. You might be wonderful with dogs and children, but you're following your father, the devil. You have no original thought. Everything, the internet, the television, the radio, is programming your operating system. And that gets updated from time to time. Now the updates are, well, drag queens are cool. LGBT is great. That's the programming. If you go against the programming, you're the bad person now.
Right.
Well, 25 years ago, nobody was on that board with that, saved or lost. Well, the system's different now. We've got a new course set by Satan, and you're just following it. You're sleepwalking. Worse than that, too many believers, too many Christians are following the devil's course. I can understand the dead in trespasses and in sin. Lead me, Satan. Well, you're following right behind them. Why? Because you're asleep too. You're not listening to God's word. You're not listening to the preaching of his word. You're not studying his word. You're not praying. You're just following whatever the media, whatever those around you are doing. And you don't have to think. You don't have to do anything. You just follow it. It's sleepy time. If you're not that far gone, where you're following the course of this world, we as believers ourselves get kind of sleepy. Well, I'm not going to follow the world. I'm going to stay away. But I still get into my rut. I still kind of sleepwalk through things. I'm not paying attention to what's going on in the world. I'm here at church. I come to church on Sunday. You might be here in a Bible conference, but you don't even want to be preached. If we asked most people, what did the pastor preach on Sunday? And what did God say to you through that message? What did you change? Well, I don't know. Where did you sit? Oh, I sat in my pew. Because I follow that same course. Here's my chair. I sit here. And we have our Baptist / Catholic program. First song, stand up, pray, sit down, sing another song, whatever. Preacher gets up. Now I doze off. Somewhere my subconscious hears, and in closing, all right, time to go. I'm hungry for lunch. It must be around noon, I guess. And we go through that for years. Never hearing from the Holy Spirit. Sleepwalking. Maybe not completely following the course of this world, but not awake either way. It's a bad thing. As we're here in Ephesians, look at chapter 5. We'll look at that in a second. So if you're asleep, and we talk about what God wants to be done. Here we see first to the lost, Ephesians 5 and verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. There's your alarm clock. Now if it'll shut off, I can continue. Now I'll end up leaving my phone here and forget about it. But it's time to wake up. Amen. Talk about being woke. Scripture tells to the lost, you need to wake up. Why wake up? What's the big deal? If you haven't noticed since you've been asleep, we are not in the last days. We're not entering the last days. We're well into the last days. The stage is actually being set right now for the final act. Right. It's all being put in place. You wouldn't notice because your eyes are shut. There you go. Whether you're saved or lost. But it's all being put together right now. It's not, well, one of these days. Boy, the preacher's been preaching, one of these days the Lord's coming back. One of these days the book of Revelation will be fulfilled. No, it's in the process at this moment. Amen. If you're asleep, you do not notice everything in Revelation 13. No man will buy or sell except he that have the mark. A one-world cashless society is not somewhere in the future. It is on the books right now being planned. Amen. All around the world. the armies of the world gathering together. The North in Russia, the East in China, in case you didn't notice, they're colluding together now.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Biden.
You're right.
They're working together right now with the Iranians and the Saudis. America is on the out. We don't need your dollar anymore. We don't need your junk anymore. We don't care about your weapons. We're the new way. It's coming together right now. They're not attacking Israel yet, but all the pieces are being put together for that Antichrist system. I can hear the hoofbeats of the four horsemen. They're coming down the road, and it'll be before too long they'll be here. Scripture tells us there in Revelation 6 that, a fourth, about 2 billion people are going to die by the hands of war and pestilence. Pestilence, that sounds old-fashioned. The new name's called pandemic. They've got all that junk in the works. War in the works. Openly talking about, if you do this, you cross this line, we'll start throwing off nuclear bombs. That's all current news. That is the world being set up. He's not revealed yet. He might be out there. We might know his name. I don't know. I'm not really looking for him. I'm looking for the blessed hope. But the point is, you better wake up. If you're lost here, whether you're 5 or 85, you ought to be downright terrified right this moment.
You're right.
You shouldn't be sitting there at ease in the least bit if you're not right with God. If you do not know without a shadow of a doubt what will happen to you when you die, that you'll go to heaven, you shouldn't waste another second.
Amen.
Not only is the stage being set up for the end times, you're not promised another second of life either way. Any one of us could drop dead right now, you know that. We wouldn't function if we thought about it too much. It's like, this little pain, maybe that's a blood clot. you can't live your life like that. But you got to realize, I'm not promised another second. And if I died right now, that'd be quite a story everybody'd always talk about for years. But you better wake up. It's not just the lost. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. If you're saved, wake up. I'm looking for my salvation from this world. Again, we know there's different aspects of the salvation. I'm saved from the penalty of my sin right now. My legal standing with God is I'm in Christ. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. But practically, I'm in a sinful world and in a sinful body. I can't wait till that ends. No more having to worry about what I think or what I do. No more warring in the flesh. No more worrying about the politics and the troubles of this world. I'll be out of here. And that soon. You better wake up. Paul goes on in 1 Thessalonians. If you want to go there. 1 Thessalonians 5. There's several things here we'll look at. Starting at verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons. Again, back to time. Wake up, it's high time. The times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
Amen.
For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Now the lost, they don't know what's coming up.
Right.
There's something within many of them, and you'll hear people talk about this over the last couple of years, something's just not right. I see the news and I don't feel like I'm part of this world anymore. I've heard lost people say that. Certainly the saved should say that, but even the lost say, this has got kind of weird.
Right.
They don't know why. Well, you're in darkness. If you're saved, you're not in darkness, you have no excuse. You know why this seems weird, because it is. This world isn't your home. You've made it your home. You've become entangled in this world. That's our big problem. God's got to start extracting us out of this world to get ready to go. But if you're asleep, you don't know what's going on.
Right.
You shouldn't be in darkness that this day the Lord overtakes you as a thief. But it's coming. He continues. Look at verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
Amen.
Sober is another word for awake. Wake up. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation.
Amen.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So to the lost, wake up. It's getting bad. You're facing eternity in the lake of fire. To the saved, I'm here to edify you, build you up. Wake up. The Lord's coming back soon. It's not when we see these things in the news, it's not a time to be sad, to be nervous. Oh boy, they're setting things up for the mark of the beast. All right. You don't need to be nervous about that.
Right.
Rejoice. Now I won't tell you it won't be a bumpy ride to the takeoff. If you've been on an airplane, you know how that some of that can be. I think it's probably going to be a little scary at takeoff, but we're leaving.
Amen.
You better wake up.
Amen.
It's time to wake up. We're all asleep. Okay. So you get that. We need to wake up. Now what? Hopefully I convince you to wake up. Realize that you're sleeping. Realize everybody around you is asleep, and you as a believer need to wake up. As a lost person, you need to wake up and get right with God right now. What do you do with that? Paul talks about some of it there. In Ephesians 5, go back there. It's very much the same. Again, the analogies are all the same. Scripture and Jesus through his parables, he explains to us spiritual nebulous concepts with the physical things that we can understand. You understand being awake. You understand being asleep. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 14 again. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. If your alarm goes off, if you wake up in the middle of the night, what do you do? Well, I got to get up. It's dark out here, so how do I walk? Circumspectly. That's what that means. Well, I still don't know what it means. What happens? You wake up. Now, you dads know this. If like me, you've got three children and a puppy. You get up out of bed. You learn to walk circumspectly. Here's this foot. It's amazing what the Lord makes. The sole of the foot has such receptors in it. I can barely brush an object on the floor, and it processes in my brain. That's a 1-inch red Lego block. If you put all of your weight on that, it is going to hurt like crazy. Okay, well, I'll walk circumspectly over this way. Now that right there, that's soft. It's probably a sock. Okay. Oh no, it's the dog. Now it's 3 a.m. and I'm taking a shower to clean my foot off. That's what we're to do in this world now. We go out into this dark world. I don't know what I can step in. Probably the same stuff the dog left. Plenty of it out there. You better watch where you're walking. Circumspect, like circumscribed, to walk around. Walk around all that stuff. You're awake now. Don't just go sleepwalking like you used to do. Everything's okay. Walking through whatever. No. You have to navigate this world and realize there are objects and problems and dog mess all over the place. Everything you watch on TV, you have to be careful what you see, what you hear, where you go, who you associate with, where you get your information. Be careful. Peter talks about to be sober and vigilant, because not only is there stuff all over the place, but your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So I got to navigate all the stuff that's out there while there's a lion trying to take me out. Yep. You better wake up. That's what's outside these doors. Now that you're awake, again in 1 Thessalonians 5, we just read it. You can turn there if you want. But he tells you basically put on the whole armor of God again. Put on that breastplate. Put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. You shouldn't leave your house without the full armor of God. You should start your day. Lord, I'm going out into a dangerous world here. It's not what it used to be. I don't have the luxury of sleepwalking anymore. I don't have the luxury of just going along with the world because they're not too bad. Lord, I got to suit up. It's a war out there. That's what you need to do. But we'll start our day without prayer. We'll go through the day many times without any prayer or study or reading of the Bible or anything. You're probably not going to die, but it's not good. You're going to get hurt. You better put on that whole armor of God. Go to 1 Peter 1. I guess we can go there. It's kind of along the same lines. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that's brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Be sober, again, that's wake up. Slap yourself. You're awake. Now that you're awake, you need to gird up the loins of your mind. That phrase, gird up your loins, back in the old days, you may or may not realize, Paul talks about have your loins girt about with truth. They wore those long tunics with a big thick belt around the middle. If they wanted to do something, Now, you ladies would understand this probably a lot more than I do. They'd reach up to the back of that tunic, or that skirt, yank it up between their legs, and tuck it in the belt. So effectively, they were in a pair of shorts. Similar term we would use today is roll up your sleeves. Get your mind ready for work. Most of us just unplug our minds most of the time, and that's when the God of this world starts to program it. Oh, you young people, especially if you're saved. What's TikTok got going on right now? Oh, okay. Well, what are you watching? Oh, I don't know. What's YouTube got? Oh, that's funny. Friends all watch this stuff too. It's programming you. And it's not programming you because they love you. At best, it's programming you to separate you from money. At worst, it's programming you to follow Satan. You don't need any of that, saved or lost. Think. Don't let the world just tell you what to think and how to think. One of the great things we've learned in the last few years is the phrase, I forgot the phrase now. Trump likes to say it. Fake news and stuff like that. Well, we've come to realize, oh, that stuff all is fake. Right. There's no truth out there. Jesus said, sanctify or set them apart by thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
Right there. Our loins to be girt about with truth. Pilate famously said, what is truth? Well, this is truth right here. It's all you can believe. Gird up the loins of your mind. Wake up. We'll get back to Peter in a minute. Here's a good verse. This verse, if we were to use modern technology, we could hyperlink this verse with Brother Bowen's message. 1 Corinthians 15. In other words, it could link right with it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. What should we be doing, Brother Farmer? Well, gird the loins of your mind. Watch where you're walking. Here, very simple. Do right. Tell others about the Lord. Well, you know how complicated we make things? We wring our hands. What's God's will? What does God want me to do? How do we, Pastor, how do I walk the successful Christian life? You know that if you're saved. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God's Word. Do right. It's not that complicated. Well, what? You know what you need. You know you need to read God's Word, pray, tell others about the Lord, come to church. Sin not. Well, does that mean I won't sin? No. However, there is not any sin that you need to commit between now and midnight. You don't have to sin. You will. But nothing says you have to sin at all. Why don't you work on that? The next hour, I'm not going to sin. You'll probably fail. Okay. But you're trying not to sin. You're not giving up saying, well, Lord, I just can't do it. So why even bother trying? That's just living in the flesh. Wake up. Do righteousness. Sin not. Some people don't know the truth about God. They don't have the knowledge of God. He speaks this to our shame. How many people don't know about God? This is one that's always convicted me. As I stand here just like I do at our church, I can see the road. Cars driving up and down Saginaw Road there. Do they know anything about what's going on in here? Do they even know what this building is? Well, I don't know. I guess I've seen it there for years. I don't know what they do there. I think I've seen some old people walk in and out of there. They have no more idea what we are than if the local VFW hall. It's like they gather there, and I don't know what they do. Maybe they wear funny hats or something. Who knows? That's a shame. The time is short. We know what time it is. We know it's time to wake up. It's time to be sober. It's time to quit playing games. It's time to do right. Tell others about the Lord. Peter wraps this up in chapter 4 of 1 Peter. If you want to see the most Baptist preacher bookmark in the world, here's what I've got marking this page here. KFC gift card. Nothing on it. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. Here you go. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Wake up. What should we do? Well, gird the loins of your mind, put on the whole armor of God, do right, tell others about the Lord. And look here. Watch unto prayer. What should we be doing, preacher? Pray. Not like you've been praying. Not, well, I've got a couple seconds I can get a prayer in. Well, before I eat this hamburger, I'm going to say a word of grace. No. The end is at hand. It's time to quit playing around. Time to quit sleeping. It's time to set aside a time of prayer. Effectual, fervent, real prayer. Getting a hold of God. Getting a hold of heaven. And praying for some real things. We all have lost family members. Amen. There are lost people in this room, I'm sure. If not now, in one of the meetings when this church meets, somebody will be here who's lost. You may know somebody's children or spouse or whomever. We need to pray individually and as a church. Prayer is kind of the red-headed stepchild of churches anymore. It's like, well, I guess we got to say a prayer. So brother so-and-so, get up and say a prayer for us. And now we'll move on to the good stuff. But we don't spend much time gathering together and praying. Boy, we'd love to gather together and sing. These so-called revivals they've had lately. No preaching. Well, we'll sing and bounce around. Okay. I'd rather go hear some real music at a rock concert than to hear your imitation of it, if I'm just going to bounce around. If God's not in it anyway, why not? No, we need to pray. Lord, I need to set aside a time to pray. Oh, we're so busy though. Well, Lord, I'm too busy. Take something away so I can pray more. You might not want to pray that prayer. You better make some time. We need to pray. He goes on. And above all things, which is interesting, above even the prayer, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity, brotherly love. Above all, have brotherly love, because the end is at hand. I don't know your deal. I don't keep up on gossip with anything. I'm the last person to even find out what's going on at church most of the time. So I don't know anything here. But I'd say within a group of this large, with Christians and people knowing how they are, somebody here's got a problem with somebody else. Knock it off. There's no time for that foolishness. Well, he said this, and I forget what happened. Well, that was 25 years ago. Quit it. The Lord's coming back. Souls are on the brink of dying and going to hell. Churches are on the brink of dying themselves. We're losing our families and churches. We're losing our churches. We've already lost our country.
Right.
And you're bickering with somebody. Cut it out. Above all else, having that fervent charity. In case you didn't realize it, this is about all we got. They don't like us. We'll get to that in a moment. We have each other. Don't let stupid differences get in the way. Even Brother Bo and I were talking about this. I hate to, if you don't like what I say, I hate to bring him into this. Even minor disagreements on doctrine, don't let it separate you from charity for your brothers and sisters. And boy, I feel the pulpit's turned into thin ice with that one. I'm not saying we fellowship with everybody just for the sake of fellowship, but you know what I mean. Well, this guy doesn't like the way I part my hair. Well, I got a wide part in my hair. I don't know what it matters. Knock it off. Doesn't mean we don't go to the extent that the evangelicals, whatever they call themselves, do. They repeat that goofy line, in essentials, unity, and non-essentials, grace. No. I don't know what essentials are. To them, essentials are almost nothing. It's like I have Baptist forefathers who died defending immersion. They wouldn't care a whit about that. I'll stand for that and separate with you still. I'll pray for you if you're saved. I'll have a little bit of fellowship. I'll still love you. But I'm not ecumenical at all. I'm talking about among us. Churches of like faith and order and churches local. Local churches have families, have bickering and problems. Knock it off. The end is at hand. That one's hammered enough. And now we go on down. Well, let's continue reading this. We'll hit verse 12 in a second. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Quit fighting, but minister to each other. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now this last one. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory may be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The end is near. Wake up. Now that you're awake, you better realize in this world, persecution will come.
Amen.
Rejoice in it. Again, if you didn't notice it, this world has changed in most of your lifetimes. I've touched on this before. You may have heard me say it. There was once upon a time, use an example that I don't know if it's even true. Maybe the local mechanic here in Mount Morris. Oh, you go to Home Baptist Church. You must be a good person. You must be a good American, a good citizen. You must be a decent fellow. Those are good. I'm not much into religion myself, but those are good folks over there. That's how we were once perceived. Not anymore.
Right.
Now you're a bigot, a homophobe, a transphobe, and if they can come up with another word to make up, they'll make it up.
Right.
You're narrow-minded, and in some quarters, you're a terrorist. Mm-hmm. That's not going to get any better.
You're right.
You're a weirdo. Wait a minute, I didn't want to be a weirdo. Well, too bad, you're there. I was kind of doing pretty well living the Christian life undercover. Not anymore, you won't, unless you completely deny the faith.
Right.
If you stand up even a little bit with such radical ideas that, you know, I think men ought to marry women. What? Why do you hate people? What did I say? It's springtime. I think these little boys' hearts ought to be making them chase after the young girls. What are you, a homophobe? I thought that's how that worked. Oh, what are you, from the Stone Ages? You're some kind of weird Bible thumper. I didn't even quote the Bible. I'm just, that's what anybody in world history would have thought was normal. Normal? How dare you use the word normal? You're a whatever. You're a normalist. You bunch of normalists. Wake up! Once again, the world is sleeping. We're following suit. Today's the day of salvation. Wake up now. If you're lost, call on God to save you.
Amen.
If you're saved, Lord, wake me up and use me. Wake me up to what's going on in the world today, because the end is at hand. Churches, the end is at hand. The time is far gone for following the old way we used to do things, and because it's just the way to do it, and who cares about the world, who cares about this, I'm just going through my motions. The preacher, he preached the same message he always preaches. I have no idea what it was. I showed up in my same pew. I went home. We went to the buffet, blah, blah, blah. Knock that stuff off.
Amen.
The Lord's coming back soon. I don't even have to point to the scriptures. You can look at the news and see it's all being set up. It's all being fulfilled, the stuff you've heard preached. None of it's a big stretch at all. It's right here at hand. Go woke.